Mind is a terrible thing to waste. And we waste it a lot, don't we? We worry. Our thoughts betray us often. Especially in those times when we don't have as much control over them. I don't know about you, but the middle of the night for me is a time when the fears come out to play. Anyone else struggle with that? I'm not unusual, am I? We come up with ways of dealing with it. For me, whether rightly or wrongly, I have at such times used my radio. I know many people, well, I used my radio to help get to sleep the other night at the district conference with all the youth. It was after midnight and I was trying to sleep and they were still yapping away. And so I put in my iPod and take me away, Calgon. Yeah. But sometimes when the fears come out to play, the music doesn't do it for me. Rightly or wrongly, I put my little thing in my ear and I put it on talk radio. I mean, not some of these yappy talkers, but more news radio, where somebody else is doing the thinking. You got it? So my mind can say, somebody else is doing the thinking, so you don't have to. I don't offer that up as something you can do. Just as an example of the things we do to try to get our minds where they need to be. This particular scripture is addressed to people who are trying to get their hearts and minds in the right place. And it's about the best place you can start for that whole process. I love this particular scripture for the path that it kind of takes through that. The church in Philippi is remembered for the word joy. You know, whether or not these people were just so full of joy and Paul couldn't help but throughout his letter to them just constantly bringing up this word up in its various Greek forms, or whether that was something that they were really needing to grow in is not sure. I have a feeling it's more of the prior. And it makes so much sense that we've got that one verse that many of us learned through that song, camp song or vacation Bible school song. You know which one I'm talking about? Rejoice. How does it go? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. How many remember that one? Now, it doesn't, if you read that word rejoice could also be translated a number of ways. It could be like the word shalom. In the Old Testament, shalom can talk about peace, but it also can be a way of saying hello and goodbye. And something you say when you greet somebody in coming or going. Likewise, this word can mean farewell. May your faring be well. I still prefer rejoice in the Lord always. Of course, that's not always an easy thing to do, is it? To get our minds in the right place. I mean, buried within this particular scripture is the sense of two sisters sisters in the Lord, whose were struggling to get their minds together, to get them in the right place. This Euodia and Syntyche, who were disagreeing with one another. And what little we know about these women is that these women were not just women on the side. They were key leaders in the Philippi church. They were persons that Paul had worked with in beginning this church to start with. But they were at loggerheads with one another. And Paul was encouraging them to agree in the Lord, to come to a point where their minds and hearts were somewhat in the same place instead of at button heads. And then he calls the congregation. This is how I read it, because it could be read a number of different ways. He says, I ask you also, my loyal companion, and some persons have translated the word as a name, saying this name's name is Syzygus. It can be translated as yoke fellow or companion. And I like the take that actually Paul is speaking, lifting out an anonymous person to speak for all. I call on all of you to help these women get to that point where their minds and their hearts are in the same place. And this is actually good news for a congregation, because if you see those women as leaders, that means that the whole church has a role in pulling together, in helping bring peace to a situation. It's not just dependent upon key leaders doing it, but it's the whole fellowship that are a part of the task. But he calls the whole church to work at this shifting of mind and heart to a sense of unity of purpose. And it's out of that where he says those words that we memorized as children, many of us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, rejoice. And speaks of gentleness, because the Lord is near. And that can mean, you know, their anticipation of the return of Jesus, or it can mean that sense of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit always there. And through all of this, that indwelling presence is so very important. Because, you know, a person can tell us, somebody can tell us, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Has anybody ever encouraged you to do that? And you're saying, well, yeah, right. How do you do that? There are very real things to worry about. There is that sense of the indwelling presence of God. And how you do that, and that next verse talks a little bit about, you know, the prayer and the supplication. You know, through your general prayers and your specific prayers, the prayers that are focused upon needs, your needs or the needs of someone else. Placing all of these things, your feelings as well as your thoughts, all of these things into the conversation with God. But a conversation that is grounded in gratitude, not complaint. I mean, complaints are important. The Bible is full of laments, which are complaints. You know, in the Bible, it is okay to come to God with all the junk. It is okay to come to God with your fears, your worries, the things that just don't fit together. And you don't, having them being grounded in gratitude does not mean that you to speak everything as if it is a thanksgiving. God, I am thankful that I'm going through a bad time. I am thankful that I don't feel good. It's not what it means, does it? But somehow, in some way, gratitude, like the ground that beneath us, kind of seeps up into our being. You know, it's sort of like you know, those what's that thing you can put in your shoes that have you seen that commercial where the person is just all, and then you've got this bouncing shoe insert that comes along, and we all know shoe inserts don't do that, and they jump along, and all of a sudden, poosh, they shift into the shoe, and all of a sudden the person is, oh, it's a wonderful day, right? You've seen those commercials? But gratitude kind of just seeps up like that. I mean, it's been said that if you don't have good shoes, that can affect your whole body, right? And your posture and everything else. Well, think of gratitude in that way. They're like the shoes beneath us. They're sort of like the spring in this carpet. Gratitude just comes up. I've back when I was in seminary, I used to talk about God's coming kingdom, not as something way off there that, you know, is so foreign to our experience, but as something that is bubbling up around us. If only we had eyes to see. It is that near that it affects our entire walk. That's how it is with gratitude. And gratitude, the word gratitude, you know, I mentioned this word joy. It is found so many different places. It goes, basically is grounded in the word kara or kairos. I mean, all of these words are connected. Grace, joy, thankfulness, gratitude. In the Bible, they're all somewhat the same word. And they're all through this scripture, if you could only read the Greek. It's all over the place. You know, it's the very ground upon which you walk upon through the Word. And then we come to that verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Getting our thoughts and feelings in the right place is not all about us. We have responsibility, yes, in trying to do that, in trying to live out what the Apostle Paul says. Because later, you know, in verse 8, he goes on to, finally, beloved, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable, if there any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. All of those words are not words that are found throughout the New Testament. These are words in some ways that Paul is pulling from the culture around the Philippians. They're words that are prominent in the philosophies of that era, especially Stoicism, if you know what Stoicism is. But he is saying, think about these things, but he has prefaced that thinking with the concept that it is not all about us. It is not all about our ability to get our thoughts where they need to be. Because we have a guardian. God is a part of that process. Very much a part of that process. God is the guardian of our minds and our hearts. And it's the shalom of God, the peace of God, which goes beyond all our abilities to think, all our abilities to imagine, and dwells, if you will, in the sole of our feet. That's it. That's all I have. But the encouragement is, keep on doing what you've learned and received. Remember back to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And heard and seen. And the God of peace, here's the promise, will be with you.